Accession number 8834, rule number 4.
Mr. Northcote, tape 4. Any other sort of big exercise you can think of, Mr. Northcote, that you had?
Yes, another big march before the general command in Cairo, before we went to Gallipoli.
Oh, what was that? Could you tell me about that?
Yes. This would be only about a month before Gallipoli, the landing. And it was before the general command, Cairo, and I suppose generals that probably General Sir Ian Hamilton, and I've forgotten the other general's names now. Ian Hamilton, he was the one in command of the landing. He'd got one arm gone from the Boer War. Don't know if it was fault or shattered or what. And we marched from the barracks, quite a fair march, a couple of miles, 3 miles, and then we got the order to march to attention all of a sudden, and all these generals were on horses in a side road, couldn't see them till we got there, and we were pretty good by it. And we marched past. We didn't have a band. Our band didn't go out with us. We were all old chaps, and they packed it up. The younger ones went into the bugle band. We had a really good bugle band. And anyway, that was that. Did the eyes right, of course. Remember, it was eyes right, because they're up the road on that side. And you're on the left, like you are in England, in Egypt. Left the road, not right. And that was it, back to the barracks.
Was it a good
but the
occasion?
One outcome of that was that from the general Egyptian command, you know, commander-in-chief, Egyptian forces, congratulating the battalion, went on to say that he'd never seen guards march better.
That was a compliment, wasn't it? Was it a very lovely occasion for you to have that march past? You know, was it colourful and exciting?
No, just a job, that's all. Oh, no. No, it didn't stop or anything like that. It just carried on.
You said
out the other end and back to barracks.
Yeah.
There's formation or anything like that.
No, you were saying this was about a month before Gallipoli. This was in the spring of 1915.
15, yes.
Did you know that anything about the Gallipoli
plans? No, there's a lot of grousing amongst the battalion about being stuck out there and getting all this terrible news of Mons and troops being put through the mill in France and Flanders. And we got the only inkling we got of something, it's come to the notice of the command that there's a lot of grumbling about being stuck out here doing nothing when all the fighting's taking place in. You get all the action you want very soon.
It's interesting that you were getting this information, though. That indicates you were getting good news from home and France. Is that right? You were kept up to date with
the
progress?
Oh, the papers. Oh, we had the two papers, Alex and Egyptian Mail and Egyptian Gazette. We call it Egyptian, but the little boys that came out, Egyptian Gemail, Egyptian Gazette. Very good news today. Death of Lord Roberts.
How did you get on with the Egyptians? Did you respect them, you know, get on well with them?
No, no, I didn't have much to do with them. We had a Dobiwala, no, that is, that's Indian, of course. Wash boy. Used to come and collect our washing in Cairo, not in... had to do it yourself in Alex. And he's Sambo, we called him. Wasn't his name, of course. But he was a Sudanese. He was an amazing bloke, too.
Did you like the Egyptians, though, the troops generally?
I didn't have very much to do with them. If you bought something from them, you usually had to bargain with them.
Yes, you were mentioning the business of the wage differentials.
The two places were very different, Alexandria and Cairo. Being on the canvas in Alexandria and barracks at Cairo, very, very different. But apart from that, no. We learnt a few words, you know, like mainly at Ipshi, clear off. Talahina, come here.
You were saying that life in Cairo was very different in barracks.
Oh, yes.
What were the barracks like there?
Very, very bare, nothing. Sleeping on the concrete floor. I had there were just a few iron beds, not many. There were about 50 or 60 in the one big barrack room that we were in. And we had some trestle tables, army trestle tables, and just forms if you wanted to sit down and write or do anything like that. And we had your meals. If it was nice, you'd take the trestle tables out on. We had a veranda outside, sit outside. We're on the first floor up. Well, there's only one floor, the ground floor and upstairs. We were on the upstairs floor. And we had a bit of a swimming bath there. It was Makuti roof. That's not a Makuti, Mbati roof. That's a Swahili term. That's corrugated iron roof. And it's made of concrete, very rough. And when the water was first, they used to change the water quite frequently, and plenty of water there. And when it was first put in, it was quite nice and warm. And after about 3 days, it's the action of the sun on the roof, and the water was nearly ice cold. Amazing. And the same thing applies if you've got a water bottle with the felt covering on it. If you wet the house outside of that and put it in the sun, the water will go cool inside. Form of evaporation. I don't know how it works, but scientific thing.
Could you now tell me about sailing for Gallipoli? When were you
Well,
you
that were? Was we. Of course, we weren't in the first landing. The first landing was the 25th of April. That was done by the regulars. On the regulars and the only other on the point of the peninsula, that's where we landed. The Australians landed up on the side. It runs roughly east to west. The point's down at the west end, and across the Dardanelles is Turkey and Asia. It's Turkey in Europe, where Gallipoli is. And Turkey and Asia is where Troy is. You could see Troy, where Troy was at any rate, or supposed to have been. And our ships used to go up. There were lots of ships there. They tried to force the Dardanelles, and of course that was a terrible mistake of the whole thing. I think poor old Winston Churchill thought he could blast the Turkish forts to bits and blast through the narrows. They go through what's called the Dardanelles, the wide passage, and through the narrows into the Sea of Marmara, and then from the Sirma Mara at Constantinople, you go through the Bosphorus into the Black Sea, narrow passage into the Black Sea. And our ships try to get through there, lost.
Had you heard anything about that in Alexandria?
Pardon?
Had you heard anything about the forcing of the nose?
Oh, gosh, no, we were at Cairo. Oh, no, this was whilst we were there that lost them.
You didn't hear anything about the earlier naval activity nothing. Before
didn't
you went
anything about
there?
It. No. Didn't know where we were going.
No. Could you now tell me then, when you first heard that you were going somewhere, what preparations were made before you set out for Gallipoli?
Nothing really. I just went aboard.
Where did you go? Which ship did you go on?
We went on the Döfling, the captured German ship that I'd been on as a guard, and down in the hold on steel plates with no bedding, no blankets, nothing.
Were you very crowded? Were there many of you?
Oh God, yeah. Packed.
What did you have with you? What did you have to take?
Nothing but so what you stood up in your uniform and kit, your kit bags. You put all your belongings in, pack full of stuff. I had some unglazed red china out of a tomb, two-piece. I regret there. Back wrapped up to the top. Your swagger cane. We weren't allowed to go out without a swagger cane in those days. You know what a swagger cane is? A little cane stuck under his arm when he's saluting it. And they were all sent back to England. And when I got mine back, there's three-quarters of it gone. The pieces of china I wanted and several other things. Nothing left except an old shirt or something like that.
But actually going to Gallipoli, you took this kit bag with you, did you?
No. Oh, no. It was all sent back to England.
It was sent back there.
I got the kit bag back at the barracks.
Oh, so could you tell me what you took with you to Gallipoli?
Nothing, just that was the other thing. You had to hand in your khaki drill uniforms. You didn't want those. You went in serge, the heavy uniform, and your equipment.
Yes, what was that? What equipment did you have?
Well, there was belt, bandolier carried 50 rounds of ammunition. Your belt had two pouches on each, held 20. So that's 80 and 50, 130 rounds was your complement. Then you could have these what they call the cotton bandoliers with 50 rounds in, made of like cotton cloth. You could chuck those over your shoulder for an extra round. A water bottle, haversack. Oh, that was the worst of this uniform. I had to all put on piecemeal, whereas the webbing equipment was all in one piece, and you just went, you know, fastened the belt, and that was it. We had to put it on all piecemeal. A water bottle, a haversack, your belt with the on the belt was the mess tin with the cover over it. Your bayonet. Also behind the mess tin was the entrenching tool, the blade part of it and the pick part of it, and the handle of the entrenching tool was on a separate strap on your bayonet, and the bayonet and bayonet frog, of course, where the bayonet's fixed in, and your bandolier. That was it. That's a lot. Oh, your great coat you slung over your shoulders. They were in slings. Awful thing. Yeah. If you wanted a pair of socks, you had to take your greatcoat to bits. Of course, the pack on the webbing pack, you just bung it in the pack.
So how much would this all have weighed? Would it have been
heavy? Not dreadfully heavy.
But cumbersome, was it?
Rather cumbersome, yeah.
So how about your journey then in the hold of the Döfling from Cairo to...
You just slung it on the deck, on the steel deck, and your rifle.
How long did it take you to get to Gallipoli?
I think about 3 days all told. Three nights and 2 days.
Did you know which direction you were sailing in? Had you any idea?
Fair idea, yes. Oh, we knew by then.
Did you? We knew by then
because we saw one ship. I was going to tell you, the the British troops, the 29th Division, landed on the Cape Peninsula, and there's a place called Saddle Bar, which is on the entrance to the Dardanelles itself. And the French Senegalese troops landed there, black troops from Senegal. They landed there, the first caps on. And, well, that's all comes in afterwards, really.
Yes. Well, if you could just tell me of your part, you know, what you actually saw. Here you were on the boat going to Gallipoli.
Oh,
and this would have been in May. Am I right in thinking about the 3rd of May you sailed?
No, before that.
Was it?
Oh, yes. Well, I was wounded on the 28th of May, and I'd been on Gallipoli for 3 weeks. So
it would be about
21 from 28 is 7. Mm. Just about the first of May, perhaps.
1st of May you were sailing?
We were sailing.
Yes.
1st or 2nd of May. We must have landed on Gallipoli. I think it's all in that discharge paper.
So you arrived on the Gallipoli about the 6th, am I right
about
in thinking?
About the 6th of May.
Yes, that's what you
that's
told
right,
me.
That's right, yes.
Yes. And this journey, you know, how do you remember it? Was it a very uncomfortable
journey? It would have been, but this is a little bit off the beaten road, really. I went up with my cousin and Grimshaw. We went up to get some fresh air. He had to climb up, almost like going up a pole with a little iron out of the hold, you see, of the ship. And some of the Anzacs had gone out on the Derfflinger on the first trip and to the landings there where they landed, and had come back, and we were the next lot to go in that ship. And the Australians, their equipment was first class, everything. They had blankets. Well, you were pleased to have them on your own bed. Were beautiful. Our army blankets were like horse rugs, you know, rough. Theirs were beautiful wool blankets. They were a bluey, slaty blue colour. And we went up into the bows of the Derfflinger, and we saw these. The blankets had left them behind, you see. They didn't want those on the land after the landing. And there were piles of these blankets in rolls. They were not folded, they were rolled. And tied up with string at each end. We had a look around, we found we could go up a companionway and get up onto the boat deck. And there's a sun place where it's all trapped in to save the wind. We said, right, we're going to sleep here. Took these blankets up, laid them down, and all got down in between these blankets on the day. Well, my being in the garment trade, I knew it was going to be cold there at night, bitterly cold at night in Egypt in time. And I cut these blankets, some of these blankets in half. I think there were about four of us or six of us. And I cut these two or three blankets in half, made a hole where your arm would go through, made holes down the front. I had like a jacket, donkey jacket, and that went underneath your either over your tunic or underneath, didn't matter which, for night. My God, it was a godsend on Gallipoli, absolute godsend. Well,
and were many of you able to make those?
How many
of you had those little donkey jackets, do you think?
As I say, it was either four or six. I think it was six of us. Now, we cut three blankets in half, draped them over your shoulders, find out where your shoulder was, made a hole in that, push your arm through, made a hole in that side, push your arm through, pull it across, right up to the neck here, and made little holes with a penknife and a piece of string, and tied up the string down.
Very inventive,
yeah,
that,
it was,
I think.
Yeah.
Yes. You were saying, though, that by now, when you were on the ship, you had heard about Gallipoli, is that right?
Well,
you had some idea,
when we got down to the docks before we went on the Derfflinger, a ship had come in, an ordinary transport, you know, troop transport ship, with a lot of these Senegalese wounded. And the mattresses were being taken ashore for cleaning, or a lot of them covered in blood, and all these poor devils with their heads or feet or whatever bound up, some of them lame, some on stretchers. So, of course, we knew where we were headed for.
And these would have been from the first landings, I imagine, would they not? First landing, the 25th
yeah.
April?
Yeah, first landing.
Yes. Oh. Right.
Just ties up with the date, you see.
Yes.
And now they landed at, as I say, at a place called Saddle Bar. Yes. And there was a fort there. And well, I don't know, you probably want to say something
yes.
else.
It's right? really, yes, your... It's the what happened to you that we're so interested in?
No, when we got there, we got there early in the morning.
This would be on the day of the 6th, would it not?
Be about the 6th. Yes. 5th or 6th. And we hove to behind two battleships, 12-inch battleships. One was called a Swiftsure and one the Triumph. We were about half a mile to a mile at the stern of them. They were about 2 miles or so off the shore. And the finest ship in the Navy, the Queen Elizabeth, brand new, she was on our port beam. She had 16-inch guns, of course, but she wasn't using those. She could only bring two guns to bear. The two forward 6-inch guns along the side, couldn't use the others, they're too far back, and she could sort of get them almost round to the front and fire with a 6-inch. That's the only she didn't do very much firing, but the other two ships, they were firing intermittently, not very frequent, and it was terrific to see the. You could see the shadow, the shell going in the sun, in the bright sunlight. And they were landing, you see the shells landing on the foot of Akababa, on the rear of the Turkish positions. And one rather heartening sight was they must have hit an ammunition dump, because an enormous cloud of stuff went up.
And you would have seen this, would you? You were on the deck of the ship.
We were in the bows of the ship, yeah.
And you could actually see
what
was
happening.
Oh, yes,
yeah, right, yes. Plainly.
Was there much fire coming from the
peninsula
itself?
Nothing at all. There were no guns powerful enough to... They'd only got a field gun, you see.
So how far off would you have been when you were watching this, do you think?
Oh, from... those shells were going 7 miles or so or more.
Have you any idea which beach you would have been near?
We were on off W Beach.
Off W
yes,
Beach?
Yes, where the Lancashire Fusiliers landed. That's where we were.
Did
we were there all day.
Did you call it Lancashire Landing? Was it known as Lancashire Landing?
It was called Lancashire Landing afterwards, yes. After the Lancashire Fusiliers.
So you were there for most of the day, were you? Until
all
it
day.
Got dark?
Until it went dark, and then we moved southwards towards to V Beach, that was the next beach. Round, there's a big headland there, and there's an enormous obelisk built on it with the war cemeteries there. I was going to go with the British Legion. They're going for the 70th anniversary next month, 25th of April. And I didn't want to go without my wife. And it's £500. I thought, well, it's a lot of money. And for what? I've nobody there. I've got friends buried there, naturally, but not a relative. And luckily, we're two relatives. Cousin and my brother, but we both got away with wounds. Anyway, I got a very nice letter from, and the two majors going, which knew nothing about it at all. I mean, I should doubt very much whether there's another Gallipoli man there in the outfit. It was a lovely trip.
You'd like to go, would you, Mr. Northcote? If you, you know, you would like to go on this trip, would you? It would be meaningful for you.
If I could afford it, I'd have to draw some of my savings. We decided against it. The main thing is, one place I want to see on this earth is Constantinople. Gosh, what's the matter with me? Formerly Constantinople.
Istanbul.
Istanbul.
Yes. Yeah. But going back now to the beach, could you tell me what your experience was as you sailed round to the beach and came into land?
No feelings at all. It's pitch dark. Pitch dark. And the River Clyde was there, beached.
Yes. What is the River Clyde?
She was a collier. And they ran her aground. They built up sandbags in the bows, and they had one machine gun there, about as much use as a pea shooter. And they'd cut holes in both sides of the bows, and had like a gangway. They lowered this gangway, and the troops went out from the hole in the sides of the bows. That was the idea. And down onto pontoons down the shore, and shot to ribbons. The water was red, the seawater, the blood. Drowned, wounded, went down. If they went down, they probably couldn't come up because of the weight of stuff they got on or equipment.
Did you hear about that after you landed?
Oh, yeah. And they'd got pontoons with all the decks boarded in, pontoons. When I say pontoons, lighters, the ordinary lighters. But the decks, put deck plants down, put the cargo inside, and you put the deck down and put tarpaulins over the top. Well, you use those a lot with the deck covers on, and they use those as a bridge linked together. And of course they got separated, and oh god, shambles. I think the Dublins certainly, and the Munsters landed there. First Dublins, first Munsters. They were cut to ribbon.
Did you see any evidence of that? Because after all, you were quite soon.
No,
after,
it was surprising.
You?
Only 6 days after, surprising how cleared up it was. They got the pontoons back linked together again. And they cleared the dead away. Of course, there must have been tons of evidence under the water. Bodies and that. Must have been.
Easy was it for you getting ashore that night through the River Clyde?
Well, it was difficult in as much, I think I told you the other day. You formed up on deck. You had your full equipment on with the 130 round. You were given two of these cotton bandoliers with 50 rounds in each, which you slung over your shoulder, one side and one the other. You had a little bundle of firewood so you could make yourself some tea or knock something together. Two tins of bully beef, about a dozen army biscuits in your haversack. That's in case you got nothing, we didn't get much. And on top of that, you were alternately, as you went over the side, given a pickaxe or a shovel, a spade. And it was up to you how you fixed that on. I think I stuck mine through my belt with the haft hanging down. The only way you could do, because you'd got to go down this. You went over the rail, there's an ordinary rail on the side of the ship, and down a rope ladder with a wooden, like the pilot goes on board a ship when he's going up.